And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Full Studios of Freedom's of the Nest, Freedom's Phoenix.com. Gloria Greenfield. Gloria Z. Greenfield brings over 30 years of strategic planning, marketing, and management experience to her current work as president of Doc Ement Productions, DOC, then capital EMET, Doc Ement Productions. Ooh, interesting. 501c3 nonprofit film production company, which she founded in 08. Her film credits include The Case for Israel, Democracy's Outpost in 08, Unmasked Judeophobia 2011, Body and Soul, The State of the Jewish Nation 2014, and The Fight for Our Lives, Defeating the Ideological War Against the West in 18. Greenfield's films have received international acclaim and have been translated into Arabic, Finnish, French, German, Hebrew, Italian, Japanese, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and Swedish. Gloria is also honorary artist in residence at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, where she has joint appointments in cinema studies and the School of Journalism and Electronic Media. Document Productions produces and disseminates educational resources in a variety of media that contribute to the strengthening of Jewish identity and Jewish peoplehood, as well as promoting the values of freedom and democracy. Founded in 07, Document Productions is an independent, funded 501c3, not-for-profit organization. All right, The Fight for Our Lives. Now, I'm getting the impression this might be a pro-Jewish thing. You know, we're going to be doing films and documentaries and so on, and maybe get some of the other side. Now, I'm perfectly willing to put up whatever. Now, somebody would sincerely come up and they want to write about, and they got their own perspective of pro and anti, but I don't care. Freedom's Phoenix, yeah, bring it on. You know, let's do it. The poor Palestinians, the poor Israelis, the poor everybody. But my big thing is, of course, I don't want to have to be paying for none of it. Don't freaking care. You know, peace out. Let me know how. Now, the American people, which is what a lot of Israel counts on, their support, just popular support, they can do whatever they want. They're free and go peace out. I don't care. It's when somebody's taking my tax money to go redistribute to something. Well, let's see what Gloria has to say about that before we go any further. Gloria Greenfield, Welcome to the show. We're going to pimp out your production company and your movies, but I need you to answer that. Is it all in promotion of I need to pay more tax money or not?
It has nothing to do with that.
All right, good. Tell me what it has to do with.
It has everything to do with protecting our values, Western values, protecting Judeo-Christian heritage, and making sure that those who are out to destroy us don't succeed.
All right, who's out to destroy? I mean, I'm sure there's a long list, but I'm just, you know, what do you think is the Let's define what the problem is. Out to destroy us. Well, destroy and us, you know, destroy, define that, and who's us?
Okay. Let's go to the fight of our lives, defeating the ideological war against the West.
Okay.
But before we do that, the name of the company is Doc Ement Production. Doc for documentary, Ement for truth. It's a Hebrew word for truth. So it's truth and film. It's truth and film. So in my latest film, The Fight of Our Lives, Defeating the Ideological War Against the West. The film examines the internal and external ideas and movements that have penetrated society, politics, and academia, whose intent is to destroy the West, to destroy Western tradition. Western tradition is built on the foundation of Western tradition, Western civilization, is the Hebrew Bible and the Judeo-Christian values that emanated from that. So we're talking about our liberty. We're talking about our freedoms.
And I don't want to debate. I'm with you. Everybody gets to express themselves, and I have no problem with what you're saying. The Judeo-Christian ethic of free will, and I get that, and I can pick and choose. Being a faith myself, and the Christian training, and so on, I can pull out every verse of whatever of free will. No, you don't want a king. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. No, you don't. You really don't. As we go through a lot of these, we're in the same mindset that the Judeo-Christian, that you own yourself, that you are agent of, and you're the steward of this life. And I mean, we can go on and on and on. But now I'm looking at, that concept, it seems like certain people will wrap themselves around it, and you have to support us because we support that. If you don't support us, you're not supporting that. And I'm going, yeah, I'm supporting that. Well, who are you? I want to make sure that we're not entangling two different things, because Judeo-Christian, well, let's define that. When you say Judeo-Christian, Western philosophy, ethics, how are you defining that? I mean, other than just saying, it's from the Bible, I mean, what does that mean? Give me your bullet point.
The freedoms that the United States were founded upon, right?
Okay. Are
reflections of the Judeo-Christian tradition. If we look at the Declaration of Independence, if we look at our current In God We Trust. I don't want to be dissing anyone who's an atheist.
No, in libertarian philosophy, atheist, not atheist, I'm in general, you'd be surprised at how many people of faith are in, the libertarian movement, because they come to that kind of philosophy from being libertarian. So I'm, Jesus is libertarian kind of thing. He didn't like the money changers. So that's not my concern. My point is, before we go further into the next segments, because I want to promote this, is that in the end, when you say all these freedom traits of the West, and I'm going, one of those big giant ones is freaking, I'd rather not have a 45 than my forehead. I got to pay money so it can be sent to some other country. So I'm going, if we can agree on that, well, then we're good. We're on the same side, and you can advocate for whatever you want. But if all of these movies, if I go and I watch this documentary, or some of the libertarians listen to the show are encouraged to go watch it, and they start seeing, and therefore we need this tax program and this whatever, and fund
the
Israel
or
whatever.
That is not what my films are about, It is certainly not what The Fight of Our Lives is about. The purpose of The Fight of Our Lives is to increase awareness of the various ways that anti-Western ideas and movements have penetrated our societies, and to let people know, to remind people that there is a threat out there that we have to be careful of. Now, I am not a libertarian. I am a conservative.
I understand. We just want to make sure we get our...
I do not believe in isolationism.
We want to get, okay, now see, now we're getting, see, I knew it would come down to that. All right. So we get down to not being isolationist is have something to do with my tax money. I just want to know.
No, not being an isolationist means that there are some things that happen in the world that we need to be concerned about, because if we don't deal with them, they'll come and get us.
All right. We got to deal with them. First, I got to find out, who we is and deal. Because I want to get into the movie. When we come back, we'll do that. We'll talk about a lot, but we are in an ideological war. I give you that. We're in a war for our lives. I'm definitely, hip to that one. But, I don't want to be fighting for the very thing that we're getting.
I'm glad to hear that you recognize that we're in an ideological war, because one would have to be pretty
dense.
Hold on,
we'll be right back. Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Since time.
Okay, Gloria, so you understand, I've done this a lot. You know, I was on a radio station that was owned by a Jewish gentleman that he always wanted me to have, you know, different leadership in the Zionist America for whatever the heck, and I've been through this for 15 years. I've been dealing with this. So my thing is always comes down to this. I have no problem with anybody advocating for anything they want and kind of doing whatever. But when it comes down to, and I'll be bringing this stuff up, and we're recording during the break. I don't know if Donna told you how that, you know, so that be careful. Just because we're not live doesn't mean it's not being streamed and so on. Now, when it goes, the penetration of anti-Western ideas and movements into academia, politics, and society. A pushback from me would be, yeah, if you didn't have government-funded academia, that wouldn't be a problem. You got politics. Yeah, I don't like that, so that wouldn't be a problem. So we got the society thing. So, but they're coming into our universities. And I go, yeah, well, you know, if they wanted to hire their own university, I'm tired of funding everything. I'm tired of sending my kids to. I'm tired of, you know, they get the subsidy and the student loan and they never pay back. The kind of, I mean, you know, when you say freedom, I mean all the freaking way.
So can I ask you something?
Please.
Are you tired of funding law enforcement?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah?
Now, see, you're talking to a libertarian. I got answers for all this stuff. So
I'm sure you do. I'm sure we both have answers to everything.
Right. So what I want to focus on is where we are.
So I actually think that one of the most important things that we must protect is rule of law. And apparently we're on different sides about that. Because
you know,
I do not.
Why would you say that? Why does police, law enforcement, a gun to my head, support law? I can give you 15 gazillion ways to where it doesn't.
A gun to your head, I think that law enforcement rule of law is going to be protects you. It actually protects you from somebody putting a gun to your head.
I want to be able and it legal for me to protect myself. I give you perfect examples. Teachers go out with their classes in Israel. They got firearms. Here in America, it's a gun-free zone. It's a good working environment for criminals, like OSHA for criminals. You know, they just come in, blah, 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 blah.
You should actually move to Tennessee.
Now, yeah, Texas is getting it on. Utah's getting it on. Arizona's not so bad, but you see my point, you know. So this is we'll go ahead and we'll have a lot more overlap. I just want to make sure on my show we have promotion. I just want to make sure that we get people to go see it, and they're going, oh, my God, Ernie, I've got – and then it's a more government program of money for kind of damn everything
that's
that we're getting.
That's not what this is about.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's find out. You know, let's go ahead and we're going to talk about ideological war. I'm sure we're – you know, don't need a whole lot of convincing that that's coming. All right, here we go.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock. We're going to have us an interesting conversation, which I love having. I mean, you know, it's like, bring it on. Let's do abortion. Let's do the third rail, Israel. Let's do it. We're going to get it going on so we can understand what we're talking about. Gloria Greenfield, and she is joined by a gentleman, Will Willis. I got you there, Will?
Yes, you do.
Okay, great. Now, Gloria, let's go ahead and finish up where we're at. And I think we kind of, you know, understand each other. And, you know, I don't want to fund anything, including cops and firemen and everything. And I'll do it. And at a local level, I'll do and I'll be local and little and local, local, local. But the concept is that we're under attack. That there is something ideologically that's trying to change the Judeo-Christian kind of base foundation, for lack of a better term of that, in the United States. Now, I don't really want to attribute it to any one thing, but I think Judeo-Christian has been latched onto, but I'm just leave me aloneism. I just like there are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? You know, I just want to be a leave me aloneist. So that's where I operate from right there. Now, there is people come together to defend against aggression, you know, foreign and domestic and so on. And they kind of, we're going for a common defense of what? That was the wording of the Constitution. The Declaration is the only purpose of government is defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. Boom, done. So that's where I'm at. I'm more Declaration. Some people may be more Constitution. So the Declaration, we're trying to find out in your film what philosophy it's advocating, who is the threat, and why. The how is they're using the very systems that this government created, all of politics and academia and a bureaucrat every freaking everywhere of everything. We must convert all these bureaucrats to our way of thinking. How about eliminating them? How about that? You know, so that's my position. Now, on your film, the new release.
Can I say something?
Please.
Since we're having a conversation. I think that you may be the one who's demanding that everybody think like you.
I'm demanding that everybody allow me to think for myself. That's what I demand. And you go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com, got all the letters of Captain Mark. It give you a detailed, you know, explanation of whatever. So I am demanding, in fact, that's exactly what I'm doing. You will allow me to be free. I get to do my own, as long as I'm not bothering you or anybody else, you have no jurisdiction over me. You know, I'm not bothering anybody. Well, you can, nope, you're not living the way we want you to. I'm going, look, I want to be able to live the way I want to, as long as I'm not bothering you. That's what I demand.
That's great. So why don't you let me talk about what the threats are that I perceive?
Please.
Okay. So there's a variety. Unfortunately, there's a whole variety.
You know, just a second, Gloria. I apologize. Will, you're in the next hour.
I'm just watching.
Okay. No, you can hang out. You can hang out. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Gloria. Go ahead, Gloria.
Not a problem. Okay. So here are the aspects of the threat to Western tradition that the fight of our lives, defeating the ideological war, examines. The first one is what I call utopian masks, which are philosophies that emerged in the 20th century that were actually seeded by the Soviet Union. Most of them were seeded by the Soviet Union in their attempts to demoralize the West. One of them is cultural relativism, where who are we to judge any value that any other culture has? Who are we to say that honor killing or forced female genital mutilation or throwing individuals off of a roof because of the sexual preference? Who are we to say that those things aren't good? That's cultural relativism. There's also so-called post-colonialism. You know, the idea that everything in the world was fine until Western imperialism emerged. There's also an assault on, or rather than saying an assault on, let's look at weaponized identity politics, which creates a hierarchy of identities. So oftentimes, rather than see a real change in a society, a positive change in society, we have reactionary movements. So the reactionary movement relating to identity today is that says all men are evil, particularly white men. And rather than eradicating racism, it's just swapping out the victim of racism. So today, white is bad, particularly white male is bad. And you know, it's the focus is on, you know, gender, race, sexual preference.
It always is.
And
they always separate.
Anybody who doesn't match that hierarchy is supposed to wallow in self-hatred.
Okay, no, we're in agreement with there. These are all tactics that throughout my life, I've been doing this 30 years, and it's always, first off, it's gender. You know, that's 50%. You get that right there. Then you start in the race and religion and sexual. I mean, they'll divide and conquer any freaking issue they possibly can. Wow. Take the fringes, combine them together. We're for you. All these fringe groups. I saw it in 06 during the Camp Casey thing, you know, when all the blogs started, the Raw Story and Common Cause and Common Dream and Daily Cause. All this stuff came with the fringes of everything that they excluded out on the edge and then support them to support against the majority, I would think, or certainly a strong influence of Judeo-Christian, freedom-oriented, leave-me-alone-ism America. So I get that. At the end of this, when you're doing all this and you're going, they're coming after this, there's the techniques for that. G. Edward Griffin, man, he was great on this, 60s, 70s. Look, it's coming. And now he's at a lot of these functions. He's going to anarchist, you know, things. He was at Anarcho Vegas after Freedom Fest, you know, talking about this same stuff. And the words that he spoke 40, 50 years ago is the same thing, exactly what you're talking about. But at the end of this, they're coming out, they're doing. And the solution is what? I hope it's not another freaking government program, some kind of, you know, the State Department needs to, or funding for of whatever. That is definitely not the answer and how we keep getting these problems. So I'm, you know, I need a solution from
proposing, you. I'm certainly not proposing, supporting or suggesting government programs. Okay. I'm suggesting that people wake up and understand what is happening.
And then do what?
And do what?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, you know, they'll separate from it, at least be aware of it. Don't buy something. Don't go somewhere or something.
You know, people have, one of the things that people need to do, I can skip over to what people need to do, but there's a lot of other things that need to be discussed first. The utopian ideas is just part of it. The identity politics is just part of it.
Okay, with more with Gloria Greenfield, we're getting into it. We're going to have some fun, and of course we want to watch it. You know, we met her at Freedom Fest. She was advocating, and Freedom Fest, man, it was definitely majority of this mindset. It was certainly 2/3. It was not a libertarian event by any means. Kind of, they knew how to spell libertarian. There's these libertarians out there being crazy and so on. We're going to infect them and get them their minds right. Well, man, there was a big giant getting your minds right from that conservative bent. In Vegas. We'll be right back.
I moved here to the Shire.
Okay, that got us going. Everybody's all on the edge of their seat and ready to go. So we need to talk about the movie itself. Has it been the ideological war against the white? It came out, what, end of last year?
It came out in February of 2018.
Okay, so how's it doing?
It's doing very well. It's showing all over the place. I've toured throughout the United Kingdom with it. I've toured, in 2 weeks, so I'm leaving for South Africa to show the film in Johannesburg and Stellenbosch. And
they're all going to Russia. Now what?
Well, I'm showing it to the people in South Africa who aren't heading to Russia.
There's a lot of them. I mean, you know, Putin's got, hey, man, I got plenty of land. You want land? Peace. It's over there. So they go, woohoo, we're going over there. They do that. They used to do that in America. It's called homesteading. They don't do that no more. So it would be great to get some experienced farmers from South Africa and U.S. not even on the radar screen.
I've toured South Africa with all four. This will be the fourth tour I'm doing with my films. And I've shown the film to a wide variety of audiences, to Black South Africans, to white South Afrikaners, white Afrikaners, to the Jewish community, to the Christian community. Like, I have a really good sense of what's happening in South Africa, and they have a pretty good sense of the work that I'm doing, and that's why I get invited to go over. I've also, you know...
Yeah, we know Lauren Summer. Yeah, it's Lauren Summer, right? Yeah, she's... you know, I was friends with Luke Radowski. We were changed for a while, and we've met her at different conferences and so on, and she went and did some documentaries and so on in South Africa. So we kind of got a bead, you know, from her perspective. But it's all part of the same thing. It's we're in charge of the brass ring now, and we say your stuff's ours. Get over it. You know, when does that not happen? You know, so it's happening right here, right now. That's what all this stuff and redistribution and universal basic income of whatever, it's come to America. So when you're talking about the philosophy of, that's what I'm worried about. What are you worried about?
Well, I'm also worried about that. I don't, you know, I don't choose to live in a socialist country. And we've got particularly all the millennials that are talking about how wonderful socialism is, and they have no idea what socialism is.
Yeah. It's a, cool Che t-shirt.
And the fact, and excuse me?
It's a cool Che Guevara t-shirt.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, there's not a lot of depth to the thinking. But the fact that we have people who identify as socialists running for the presidency of the United States is pretty scary.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about them running. I'm more worried about the support they get from the people. You know, I love having Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders up there going, we're going to take an AOC doing, we're going to, you know, what's her name? Alexia Occasional Cortex, whatever it is. You know, I just, you know, she's out there making sure. Yeah, Will, go ahead and turn your mic off so it doesn't flip into your graphic when you make noise, would you please? Will? Will? Can you hear me? All right, well, turn your mic off, Will. Will, can you see me, Will? Will. Yeah, whatever. He's sitting there. Yeah, whenever he makes noise, it flips over to his graphic. The what I wanted, when we come back, we'll need to specifically get into the movie's content. We haven't got that yet, and we should, you know, at least get to that one of these days. So let's go ahead and get to the movie's content and what you're advocating. But whenever I see a chance, I'm going to be, all right, that's not a government program, right? You know, so you get ready for that. Here we go.
You can ask me every time, but there's nothing about government.
I am now live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Better bear guitar and radio. All right. Gloria Greenfield has a production company, you know, Doc Emmett Productions. Emmett, you know, Doc Emmett. You know, I thought that was kind of cool. You know, Emmett is it Yiddish or Hebrew?
It's Hebrew.
Hebrew for truth, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Truth in film is the tagline.
So the Truth in Film, the most recent one, defeating the ideological war against the West, the fight for our lives. What are you depicting in that film? We go watch that. What are we seeing? Who's being bad guys, good guys? What's up?
The film does not promote any actions other than to build awareness and for people to develop the moral confidence in Western tradition. The film examines the internal and external ideas and movements that are penetrating Western society, academia, and politics. The reason why it is important to look at what's happening in academia is because academia produces, whether you want to look at it as unfortunately or fortunately, the future leaders of our great country.
So, you know, the one thing... Please, continue.
Okay. So the film is organized into 8 sections. The first, after an introduction by Niall Ferguson, talking about making the statement about how people think that it takes a really long time for civilizations to end, and in fact, it doesn't take so long for civilizations to end. And if we're not careful, and if we're not protective of our values, it's very possible that Western civilization could end very quickly. After that introduction, it goes into the first section, which is called Utopian Masks, which looks at those ideas and philosophies that emerged in the 20th century that are in opposition to the values of freedom, of liberty. And those include, as I mentioned earlier, cultural relativism, post-colonialism, et cetera, et cetera.
These are I'm sorry, go ahead.
After that first section of Utopian Masks, the film goes into what's called Crumbling Towers, which is looking at the fascism that has been emerging and being practiced in Western academia. For instance, not being able to speak your mind without consequence. That there is a script of what is politically correct, what is acceptable to say and think in the university today, with the exceptions of universities like Hillsdale College, which is a wonderful example of what a real educational institution
private,
should be.
Private.
Right. Hillsdale will not accept any federal funding because it wants to maintain its independence.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. A college that makes my point.
Right. So, and I don't know for sure, but I've been told that the University of Dallas is similar to Hillsdale, but I don't know that for sure. So that section also looks at safe spaces, et cetera, places where our youth, where our college students are protected against scary ideas, scary being anything that is opposed to what's politically correct. And it makes the point, that chapter makes the point that these are the future leaders of our Western countries, and it is a very dangerous prospect if they have become so weak that they have to be given coloring books and crayons for therapy if their candidate didn't win, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm simplifying
No, 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 no. I'm with you.
So after Crumbling Towers, it goes into the section that I call Weaponizing Identity. It looks at the women's movement and how Marxism, how class analysis was applied to the gender issue. It looks at how race is used as a hammer and as a way of weakening and demoralizing citizens who don't fit into this new hierarchy of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in terms of identity. It looks at, and by the way, that part of it is brilliantly presented by Alan West. It also looks at the loss of chivalry and what that has done to men. That men no longer, and young boys no longer understand what it means to be a man. And then it looks at what happens to a society when you weaken both psychologically and physically your men, and how is your society going to be able to defend itself against those forces that want to destroy it. That leads into the section on jihad. Now, I understand that some people may say there's no evil in the world, we just should let everybody do what they want, which unfortunately might include letting people come in who want to behead you. But the film examines the threats that are coming out of jihad and what is actually happening in Western countries, with specifically also looking at the massacre of Christians today in Muslim countries, which is also now entering into Europe.
Yeah, I know they'll have all kinds of coverage of, Muslims being attacked and the Christ Church thing and so on, but they, conveniently don't depict any of the that's going on with the Jewish community and Christians around the world. So we recognize this, we understand, but there's to what end?
Can I finish?
Please.
Okay. The next chapter.
How many chapters do you have? We got time limit here.
Okay, I'll do it quickly. The next chapter is called People of the Book, and it looks at the importance of Jews and Christians to understand that we're facing common threats and that it is important for us to work together. That's followed by a chapter called Durable Values, which looks at the importance of posterity. It looks at the posterity being concerned about future generations, not just thinking about your own generation. It looks at the importance of rule of law. It looks at the importance of capitalism, etc. And then it concludes with a chapter called Standing Up, where it's calling for people to stand up and be proud of one's culture, to be able to be informed enough about one's culture, to be able to explain it to one's children, and to come to the awareness that these are values, Western civilization, Western tradition, are values that are absolutely more than worth fighting for. That's the film.
Thank you. I've gone through this before in different, I've run for office. I've run for, Congress, Secretary of State, legislature, U.S. Senate against McCain. I'm a known libertarian activist here in Arizona. And when you run for office, a lot of times, especially after the census, they'll have somebody that will come from around the world that wants to be a congressman. I'm going to go there. You got a new one. Woohoo! No incumbent, and I got money, and we're going to whatever. And they always ask you, where's home? Is it New York? Is it New York City where you came from? Or where's home? I'm like, where my family and freedom is. I mean, my family, it's freedom. Leave me alone. It's an attitude. It's a philosophy. It's not a freaking geographical thing on a map. It's an ideology. When we come back, we're going to talk about what ideology? Where's this come from? And then what? It's a call to action to what? We'll be right back.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, pirates.
Pirates. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I want to be able to understand where you're coming from. Pirate. I don't understand how you glorify piracy.
Pirate, a lot of times they'll go, pirates are bad. Well, of course, the Crown is going to say, any of you guys doing anything that we don't like, you're a pirate. Didn't have the Crown's permission. You didn't get a permission slip. What pirates were, they came out of privateers during for hundreds of years they existed. The privateers, the Crowns of England, Spain, Portugal, France, Denmark, France, they all would hire private boats to go out and do their bidding. They had a letter of marque. That's why we have Captain Mark and his sidekick female reprisal. It's like Trinity Neo thing from Matrix. Well, Captain Mark writes, he said, look, man, I'm just raising my black banner. Because what happened was these privateers that were given a permission slip to go take out the ship of the Spanish galleon full of all the gold that they stole from the Incas, and you get a cut and we're good because we wrote you a letter of marque. If anybody did that and privately without a permission slip from a crown, then they were a pirate. So what happened was they didn't want to bring this caste system to America. They're going, nah, this is, we're the new world of equal and meritocracy of whatever the heck. And but the crown, no matter who was warring, the British and the French and the Spanish, they would all come together to go against the pirates. They're going, look, you're not against all flags. You have to have a flag. You have to support a gang with a color. I mean, you gotta be on one or the other, because that concept of supporting a king or a ruler was what was more important and more overwhelming than being free. So anyone that was free, and this mindset was what brought in the United States. This whole, you're like John Hancock was a smuggler, pirate of whatever the heck. So as you go through the history, the Mises Institute just did one a couple of weeks ago on the piracy and what the real history was. Most of the naval ships in engagement in battle were privateers that were hired by these crowns to do this stuff. The people that were against this Shanghaiing and forcing people into being the Navy, they were escaped slaves and escaped naval personnel and escaped. And they just like, hey, we're in Nassau, we're out of the, you know, bite me. Now, of course, there were bad pirates, but there was a lot of evidence, you know, people writing letters, thank you for being nice to us and just taking the crown's crap and leaving us our possessions and so on. So we knew that they were going to say we were pirates. So we chose to embrace it and then define it ourselves. And
so you relate to the Barbary Coast pirates.
Who are they?
Well, I think you need to do some research.
No. There's bad pirates. Like there's bad government. Well, you can make an argument the crown's all there, all good. I don't think so. But yeah, no, you read our documents. You'll see what we did.
LRN.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in G. Edward Griffin did, John Birch Society back in the 60s, him talking about this. And I remember watching, it's an hour and a half, but I just went in the middle. I'm like 52. I go anywhere, I just go in the middle, and I guarantee wherever I click on it, G. Edward's going to be talking a lot about this stuff. Now, he's bringing this message to the anarchist community. Well, you know, that's kind of a segue. You know, for glory, might work it out. Here we go.
What helps to bring communism to power is moral. The only test is, does it work? The leaders of world communism are forever saying that they want peaceful coexistence. Let our two systems, let our two ideologies compete fair and square. They say, let the best ideology win. They always talk about their ideology, but you notice they never say anything about their organization. We're not supposed to even notice that they also have an organization with working units established in every country in the world. And while they're talking about open and fair competition between ideologies, their organization is getting ready to pull the rug right out from underneath us, if it can. Again, let's turn to the record. Benjamin Gitlow, the author of this book, was for many years one of the most important communists in the entire world. He was General Secretary of the Communist Party, USA, a member of the Executive Committee of the Communist Internationale in Moscow. And
it goes on and on from there. It is just detail, detail, detail of how they're doing the plan of, and this was the 60s. And they've been doing it since then. Here it comes in rock and roll and using our system of academia, which is textbooks. We just had a story on yesterday, a new textbook going into the schools refers to Trump as mentally unstable. And the people, I mean, it was just, they're rewriting history just like the Soviets would do in their schools. This
That's
is
right.
happening to us right now, predicted by G. Edward, and seen every year since then. So you don't have to convince me. You don't have to convince the anarchist. It's but what's the solution to us is that, well, if they're using all these government programs to brainwash us and all this licensing for media and all this shutting down, deplatforming, you know, of social media and so on, well, why don't we just bypass that and screw them and we're on our own and bite me and I don't need a government program? What about that?
Well, I understand and appreciate the fact that you're an anarchist and a libertarian and you have the right to choose your framework. Personally, I don't think that anarchy works. I think that anarchy is dangerous. I also believe, which is in opposition to libertarian views, that evil does exist in the world.
Yep, no doubt. And I'm angry because I'm prevented from fighting it. You know, no, it gets deplatformed. You talk about
how that. How are you prevented from fighting it? Nobody.
Ballot access laws. Don't even get started on me. The reason, the ability our system allows for us to be able to go up against and represent these very views that you're talking about. God, I don't know, man. You got
to
be in this party and fill out these forms.
All right.
I'm as soon as I argue before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals as my own attorney standing there going, I got an argument. Challenge 44 election laws in Arizona. I don't think I know. I know exactly how they do it. They eliminate competition before it gets started. They do everything they can. And I know that it's general public opinion, and that's where films like yours really come in and do the most. But once you get that general public opinion, yeah, we should be in opposition to this and for this. Then what? That's when they send you down the path. Well, you got to vote for this guy or run for this or advocate for this program. When really, you live in an anarchist society. You get to make whatever decision you want with where you spend your money, how you educate your children, what car you drive, whether you buy or don't buy a house. I mean, you want to have some impact? That's the impact. And all this other stuff is just on debt for my grandchildren. No matter what program or thing that we're going to do or war we're going to fight is going to be paid for, and it keeps building up until it crashes and you lost all your system. This system is going. What is it going to be based on?
How do you reconcile the understanding that evil does exist in the world? How do you reconcile that with
America? I don't need the permission. I want the ability and not going to go to jail or drummed out or shot or put in jail for opposing that evil. And every time I want to feed, a homeless guy, every time I want to shelter somebody, every time I want to move somewhere, I got a permission slip from the Crown says you don't have it and you can't. That is where the solution is. I'm wondering when in your film, all these things have been articulated to me, and I'm sure they're true. I admit, here it comes, an attack to this ideology, but the opposition to it, I need to get to that before we run out of time. Gloria, in the end, you're advocating people, we need to what?
We need to stand up and fight this incursion of...
Agreed. Stand up means what?
Assault. To speak out in public, to not be intimidated by being called names, whether not being intimidated about being called a racist, not being intimidated by being called anything, just to stand up and speak and to make sure that what is happening in Europe, for instance, being put in jail like Tommy Robinson was,
right,
for speaking, to make sure that that doesn't happen in this country, to make sure that we do not allow laws to pass that infringe on our freedom, that we make sure that we have the right to defend ourselves, we have the right to speak our minds. To make sure that we do support those political figures that are saying screw you to those who are trying to change this country into something that's really bad.
Okay, now one thing at Freedom Fest, it was, I think I know the answer to the question. That was a lot of support for the Trump administration. Are you really happy about the Trump administration, I would imagine?
I support Donald Trump. Yeah. I think that Donald Trump is the right person at this time.
You know, it's hard to argue that, especially since, the alternative was Hillary. But, it reinforces this kind of state solution thing. But probably next year, if we go to Freedom Fest, we're going to do our Trump report. Every week for 4 years, since he came down the escalator, we've averaged about 3 hours a week on just the Trump report with Dr. Frank Tamburi. We're going to go there. We go, all right, I tell you want to do the Trump, or you want to have some fun? We go to Freedom Fest. We'll put it in the media room, man. It'll be a crowd the whole freaking time. I guarantee it. Because my thing is you're still voting? But of course, in the show, and what Dr. Tamburi does is all of the things that you would find beneficial from the Trump administration and what he's doing. But my question, I keep pushing back on everybody, is this. I need to know, when he says make America great again, I need the definition of America. Is it America Geographic, American People, American Culture, America and Her Interest Overseas. What the hell is America? And Great Again, what does that mean? Is it, you know, bigger mushroom cloud or whatever? From my perspective, what made America great was its freedoms, the leave me aloneism of government, and it never ratchets back. It keeps going, and with ever and ever more debt, even under Trump. So I'm going, yeah, I'm not seeing the solution coming out of this way, but I think the support for Trump and the people have it in the right place. They're better, you know, centered as far as what they want government to be, but how are they going to make it that way? What force are you going to use? What voting material? What government program? And I'm for, like with what you do with your films, the awareness of what's coming so that you can make individual mom and dad, grandma and grandpa decisions for the generation next. This is where I'm at. So
okay, can I add one thing?
Please.
I think it's important for us to understand, to recognize that a lot of the really screwed up stuff that's happening right now, like the intimidation, the safe spaces, a lot of that stuff is not coming from the administration, or it's coming from people themselves. It's coming from movements, and yeah, we have to be aware of that.
It's always a movement. There's always somebody that doesn't sit in the back of the bus, and then it becomes a big movement. A lot of times these movements that they'll use the system, and they'll just be a bunch of money wanting more communist of we can make some money and limit participation of anybody else competing with us. Competition's a sin and we're a monopoly, so saith the crown. And I'm saying that power of the crown is the problem. When it supports individuals like you out advocating for a philosophy or way, or just making aware of what's coming, then what? It's the then what that I get into. I need to know the then what. And I think we've discussed it enough. I think we're on the same page in understanding that there is a problem. You know, we know there's a problem. It's what the solution is. And we'll get back with that in the future. This is, we got all the links in the archive for them to go and find your movies. You got other movies up there also. The State of the Jewish Nation, Unmasked Judeophobia, Democracy's Outpost, The Case for Israel, With Clarity and Courage, An Activist Guide. So this, Gloria Greenfield, hopefully you got to have your say. I think we have a lot of overlap. Maybe we'll see you at Freedom Fest next year. Thanks for coming on. Give out, let's see, the website page is docement, docement productions.com.